From the radio ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Vlogcast for Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, one heck of a nice guy, and the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes. And we need to get things started officially with...
The Daily Datagram!
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. Oh. Yeah, that's true. Just remember, the path starts where you put your feet on the floor at your bedside in the morning.
Houston, we have a problem.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I was there.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
I do?
You might be quizzed.
Oh, come on. Gonna wear that out. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1972, the San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit System, better known as BART, began passenger service. Boy, it's a good thing they didn't name it Frisco Area Rapid Transit.
That's just disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And it was on this day in 1997, NASA's Mars Global Surveyor reached Mars. Then, well, it began surveying. Just what it started surveying is anybody's guess, but I would imagine it's probably Mars. And if not, then you'd have to ask somebody at NASA. I'm sure they know. At least that's where I would start.
Houston, we have a problem.
So here we are, the day after the big debate, the much-hyped debate. I'm glad I didn't have to pay to see that thing. But depends on who you talk to as to who won the debate. Did Donald Trump win? Let me put it this way. He didn't lose. Did Kamala Harris win? No. There was more word salad. She lied. I didn't hear any lies from his part, but there were a lot of inaccuracies again. He has a tendency to overstate things. When he goes ad lib, it drives me bonkers. But let's start with the moderators. Those ABC moderators fact-checked him on a number of occasions, but not her. But then again, we expected this, right? Because this is ABC. ABC is just another arm of the propaganda ministry from the Democrat National Committee. At the very beginning of the event last night, I thought it was beautiful, Harris refused to answer when asked if Americans are better off today than they were 4 years ago. She immediately diverted and started answering a question that wasn't even asked. And Trump, a little later on, also managed to effortlessly slap down Kamala's false claims on the Project 2025. She said that he intends to fully implement Project 2025. Well, he clarified things by saying, look, I don't even know anything about the Project 2025. I'm not a part of it. I haven't even read it. I'm not going to read it. Now, the problem with Trump in his speaking is he always tends to take things just too damned far. It's not enough for him to make a point once. He's got to make it two and three times. And then he's always got to throw in that tired old phrase, like no one's ever seen, like no one's ever seen before. You know, these superlatives that he has to throw in. He could cover so much more territory if he would learn to speak in a less fragmented style. But just the same, he had the upper hand right there at the very beginning, actually pretty much through the whole thing. But it's that disjointed way he speaks that drives me up the wall. You know, I don't know. It's like nails down a chalkboard. But again, the moderators at ABC, and I want to point this out, told multiple lies. And throughout the entire 90 minutes, which was about an hour and 15 minutes too long. The 90-minute presentation, I think it did go a little bit over, maybe a minute or two over, throughout the entire event. These moderators were actively assisting Harris. And I think they were doing this for good reason. She needed the assistance. She really did. So, anyhow, all in all, who won that debate? I guess it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to a Democrat, they'll say that Harris won. If you talk to a Republican or a Trump fan, they'll tell you that Trump won. Who do I think won the debate? I don't know. I think it went pretty much in Trump's favor because he stuck to more truth than she did. Absolutely. And a couple of times she went off into word salad, which I find sometimes entertaining because it's like when I listen to her go into the word salad, I sit there and shake my head and it's like entertainment. But I think the real loser in the debate last night were the millions of Americans who sat down and watched the whole thing. This little item right here is based on information received yesterday, okay? Now, this is going to change now that we've had the debate. But Trump has risen above Kamala Harris in the most recent 2024 election forecast. Reputable pollster Nate Silver, the guy we keep talking about, the founder or co-founder of 538, provided updated data Monday showing that Trump leads Harris by a decisive 64.4% to 35.3% in the national estimate. This is the one we told you about in yesterday's podcast. Now, Trump has reached a new peak with this, basically solidifying his increasing momentum as a possible front runner for the presidency. I'd like to change that word possible front runner to probable front runner. But again, we're going into what's going to be another fraudulent election. So don't take a sigh of relief and say, oh, good. Because we've got to be on our toes. We all have to show up to vote. I mean, in a physical polling place. I mean, the mail-in ballots have already gone out throughout a large part of the country. I think a good third of the country. Now, the swing states where Trump's expected to win could eventually decide the election. And then what further underscores the importance of this prognosis, because according to polls, and again, we're talking about polls. Polls say one thing, the election says something else, doesn't it? So we're actually going to have to wait until November 6th to find out what happened. And even then, there are going to be glitches because of the fraudulent election. There will be glitches, and we won't really know who the real winner is for perhaps a week after the election. But Trump appears to be ahead of Harris in several states that saw a lot of really intense competition for the 2020 presidential election. And here's a breakdown of the numbers. Pennsylvania, big swing state. Trump, 65%. Harris, 35%. Michigan, perhaps one of the toughest of them all, 55% for Trump. Harris, 45%. Wisconsin, Trump, 53%. Harris, 47%. Arizona, this is a good one. Wow, what an eye-opener. Trump, 77%. Harris, 23%. North Carolina, Trump, 76%. Harris, 24%. Georgia, Trump, 69%. Harris, 31%. And Nevada, Trump, 61%. Harris, 39%. That is what you call a commanding lead. And these are what are usually considered to be important swing states. Now, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania may prove to be the deciding factor in this election. And there are a few possible reasons for Trump's lead against Harris in the polls, not the least of which is his messaging on subjects like crime, border security, and inflation. And then this has all struck a chord with a sizable block of voters. Furthermore, Trump has a clear edge because of his persistent popularity among Republicans and his tight hold on the GOP base, because that's where the real strength is, the GOP base. You know, much of the electorate has remained faithful to Trump But Harris has found it difficult to win over Democrats with the same fervor. Because your moderate Democrats now are really starting to look seriously at Trump, especially in light of those two huge endorsements Trump got last week, RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. Markets for political wagering are beginning to reflect the increasing perception that Trump is winning. Polymarket's odds show that Trump is currently leading Harris at 52%, with Harris trailing at 46%. And these odds offer more information on how people see Trump's strong position going into the closing weeks of the campaign, even though they're more erratic and subject to change. But that's elections for you. So, separately, you've got people like this pollster, Frank Luntz, who's a lefty. He believes the Democratic presidential candidate and Vice President Kamala Harris made some massive mistakes in her CNN interview. That is a direct quote from him. Now, the interview was promoted as a watershed event because, really, that was her first and only interview as the official presidential candidate of the Democrat Party. But Luntz said she was he was disappointed. He said, "I wasn't impressed as an observer and someone who's expecting more from her with this much time to get prepared. First, and I call it DOD, which is day one detail, she gave child tax credits, a housing credit. She should have had something for day one, for the first hour, the first day, the first week, the first month, and the first year. It's the most important thing voters are looking for to see whether you're serious. She really didn't itemize much more than her talking points." And think about it. Her talking points really don't congeal around anything that the average American on the street wants or needs these days. You know, all this talk about the abortion issue. Abortion isn't going to mean doodly squat in this election. It may for a few radicals. But for people who are trying to raise a family, some people who are still trying to find a job with a college degree in their hand and can't. Look at what we're paying for our basic necessities. Look at what we're paying for fast food these days. The prices of all of this stuff has snowballed. It's gone up by, in some cases, more than twice. Give you for example. I go to Walmart every couple of days just to pick up a few incidentals. And I've got a big habit with Diet Dr. Pepper. Now, before Biden was elected, I was getting my six packs of Diet Dr. Pepper, you know, in those 16 and a half ounce bottles. I was getting that for about $2.50 a six pack, $2.50 at Walmart. When Biden took the White House, the price went up immediately to $4.80. Today, I'm paying more than $5.50. Now, that tells me that's more than double what I used to pay. My income has not doubled. Neither has anybody else's. Okay? And I'm talking about rank and file working people. The middle class has been squeezed so hard. It's really hard to find anybody in the middle class who's ready to vote for Kamala Harris. The only people in the middle class who are willing to vote for her are the low information voters. And there are quite a few of them out there, unfortunately. So Luntz went on his rant and it was pretty good. Now, again, remember, Luntz leans left. He said, second, it's not inflation, it's affordability. Bingo. And the fact is, food, fuel, housing, and healthcare has become so much more expensive. She said she understood it, but she didn't give ideas to address it and to solve it. Third, she emphasized repeatedly, my values haven't changed. Because she's been accused of being a flip-flopper. It's not values that's about her. It's priorities. Because that is about all of us, those priorities. Number four, you deserve. She talked once again as though it was still a convention speech. She didn't itemize exactly what the people of the United States deserve in terms of their president, in terms of, in her case, her policies. Number five, the C word. She talked about consensus and a little bit about common ground. It's really common sense, because voters aren't looking for an ideological president. They're looking for someone who can get things done, a real record of results. Sixth, in her attack on Trump, she should have said, he promised, he failed, it's time to give someone a chance to do a better job. Compared Trump's record rather than just shots at him. And number seven, how would you feel if your kid spoke to you the way Donald Trump speaks to America? It's simple. It's a simple rhetorical question. It's her strongest criticism of Trump, and I didn't hear that last night. Okay, again, that was Frank Luntz talking about Kamala's appearance on CNN in that interview. So, in the wake of that, Trump started to slowly but steadily inch his way above Harris. So now you see the impact that's had. So we'll see if this debate of last night has the same impact. I'm betting it will. While Joe Biden dubiously declared himself the most pro-union president in history, it's pretty clear that not every labor group's lining up behind Harris ahead of November's election. I think what's interesting is what's happening with the United Auto Workers, the UAW. The workers themselves, the members of the union themselves, according to recent polls, are not supporting Harris. Although the president, what's his name, Sean Fain, the president of the UAW, supports Harris. And that could present further problems down the road for Fain. He's going to have to deal with that later on. Because if Harris wins and the economy truly sucks and the auto industry tanks, because it's in the process of tanking right now, and if Harris wins this election, the auto industry is going to be even worse. The auto industry is in such bad shape now that even the German automakers are having problems. Right now, Volkswagen is in a situation where they may have to go back on their promise of no layoffs. As a matter of fact, the people in the boardroom at Volkswagen in Germany are giving a very serious look at having to shut down some plants in Germany. Now, when things come to that, you know the auto industry worldwide is in bad shape. Now, we could analyze that, but I'm not going to do it here. A good part of that has to do, too, with the fact that the Chinese auto industry is starting to dump their product into foreign markets all over the world. And that's going to throw the automotive industry into a real tizzy. So anyhow, the unions here in this country are in some way or another going to play a fairly important role in this election. But does what a president of a given union have to say going to make that big a difference? Probably not. Because it's just like anything else. If the rank and file within an organization doesn't agree with that organization's president or mouthpiece, they're still going to go their own way and vote the way they want to. Now, in this case, we're talking about the Fraternal Order of Police. They recently held a vote among the members, and Trump came out with a very decisive win. Now, here's how the Daily Wire, this is another organization that I trust, here's how they reported it. FOP National President Patrick Yoes said that after the vote, there was no doubt, zero doubt, as to who they want as our president for the next 4 years, Donald J. Trump. Yoes said, during his first term, President Trump made it clear he supported law enforcement and border security. In the summer of 2020, he stood with us when very few would. With his help, we defeated the defund the police movement, and finally, we're seeing crime rates decrease. If we want to maintain these lower crime rates, we must elect Donald Trump. The FOP said that the organization considered both candidates' records, as well as Trump's responses to the questionnaire that the FOP sent him. And then, in the same statement, Yoes said, The national FOP endorsed Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020. He led our nation through some very tough times. He provided our nation with strong, effective leadership during his first term. And now that he's seeking election to a second term, we intend to help him win it. And then, Trump, of course, responded to the news and he shared the union's announcement on social media, saying basically, I'm so honored to receive the Fraternal Order of Police official endorsement for President of the United States. Thank you. Now, there's been other evidence during this election cycle, too, that even typically Democrat-leaning union members are cozying up to the idea of voting for Trump. So, how big a pattern is this? Big enough. It's big enough to make the Democrats sit up and take notice. Let me read a few tweets to you here. Let's see here. Citizen Free Press tweeted, "Union worker is backing Trump." Quoting one here saying, "A lot of people say Trump is a union buster, but when he was in office, he had more union work than ever before." That's a fact, actually. Here's another tweet from Silent Silas. Says, "Just look at this crowd." And there's a photo here taken in, looks like New York. And it's a huge crowd, just packed. Says, "Just look at this crowd. Numerous union workers came out to see President Trump. You can literally hear the chants of USA and we love Trump. This is Trump country, I tell you." Paul Zipula. "Trump is leading New York unions 3-1, according to leader Bobby Bartels, who polled his union. Most of his members are Democrats. If this trend keeps, it's over for Biden in November. He needs unions." Bartels said they're tired of the crime and illegals. Of course, you know, he was still referring to Biden. So I wonder if this tweet came in prior to the switcheroo. You know, the installation of Kamala Harris. Remember, she wasn't voted in. She was installed. She was ordained. Now, according to the FOP, the Harris campaign didn't even grant a meeting with union representatives. And this is an item here from the Washington Times, another good publication. "Mr. Trump received the support of two-thirds of the FOP's 46 state lodges and 377,000 members who voted for their preference. According to FOP officials, an FOP committee met personally with Mr. Trump ahead of the decision, but no similar meeting was granted by the Harris-Walz campaign." See, that's going to hurt them. That is going to hurt Walz-Harris, or Harris-Walz. The organization credited Mr. Trump with standing by law enforcement in the summer of 2020 when rioting and a defund the police movement broke out across the nation after George Floyd died in the custody of police officers who were later convicted of killing him. The FOP has mostly endorsed Republicans since 1992. The organization endorsed one Democrat, Bill Clinton, in 1996. So, there you have it. Fraternal Order of Police, pretty much nationwide, more than two-thirds of the organization, solidly in the tank for Donald Trump, and that is as it should be. Job Creators Network, which is America's largest small business advocacy group, unveiled a rotating billboard in Times Square highlighting the harsh economic reality that millions of us Americans face under Biden and Harris. Now, the massive ads meant to dismantle campaign spin from the Democrats by showing how consumer prices are still rising, even as the inflation rate falls. Now, remember, this is the one thing that mainstream media tries to cover up. Inflation hasn't stopped. Only the rate of inflation has decreased, but inflation hasn't stopped, okay? Now, the billboards showed how the price of electricity, ground beef, and rent exploded since Biden and Harris took office in January of 2021. You know, the stuff that I've been harping about ever since. And the ad refers to the difference as Kamala's misery gap. And the Billboard said, plotting actual prices alongside the inflation rate on the same graph. You know, this is amazing stuff. It was really an attack ad against Kamala Harris. And it also said the Democrats are attempting to hoodwink the American people into believing that consumer prices are falling by pointing to the moderating inflation rate. But anyone who goes to a grocery store anecdotally knows this is not the case. And that's a quote from Alfredo Ortiz, who's Job Creators Network's CEO. That was his official statement. He also said that a rotating billboard in Times Square features the real economic data behind the sentiment, visually charting how prices of everything from electricity to food are up big time under the current Biden-Harris administration. Don't lose sight of the fact that while you see Kamala at least out there every so often campaigning, she's not the president yet. Joe Biden is still the president. Where is he? Oh, he's on a beach in Delaware. So working Americans are being crushed by Biden-Harris food price inflation, rent inflation, energy inflation. And they're seeing their grocery bills on staples skyrocket. I mean, I already told you about my Dr. Pepper. That more than doubled. Now, naturally, and thank God, not every commodity has gone up in price to that degree. But everything has gone up in price considerably since Biden took office. Now, last week, Job Creators Network called out the Biden-Harris spin that the grocery price increases hitting Americans are the result of supermarkets and food manufacturers price gouging. You remember that? And I mean, I cried BS the minute that came out of Harris's mouth. So according to a Job Creators Network video, it says when a company decides what to charge for a jar of peanut butter, it has to consider the prices they pay for peanuts, oil, salt, packaging, transportation, and what they have to pay their employees to make the peanut butter. All of those things go into the final price we see on the shelf. Government data shows the price of these input costs have increased at the same elevated rate as consumer costs under the Biden-Harris administration. Food manufacturers and grocers are simply passing along their higher costs to consumers to stay profitable. You know, we wouldn't have to go through this and listen to all this stuff if we would only do as Richard Dreyfuss recommends, start teaching civics in schools. Teach basic economy. Teach the basics of the free enterprise system and make sure that our kids are proficient in this before you hand them a high school diploma. To the Comedy Corner and the return of Johnny W.
Church is a little weird, though. Some churches put stencils on the walls. I've noticed since you go into churches, they'll like put stuff on the walls. White people do this a lot. I blame Chip and Joanna Gaines for this culture. You're walking Smith's house, live, laugh, love on the wall. What is that? What are you doing? On my wall, I want live, laugh, leave. That's what I want. Get out. But my church, I've been to a church before. My church puts like our core values and some scriptures on the walls. I went to a church a few months ago and they had the Ten Commandments on the wall. And it wasn't just like all together. It was like scattered throughout the church just randomly. So weird, the placement of some of these commandments. Like over the pastor's office, I swear to you, it said, thou shalt not kill. I was like, what happened in the pastor's office? What do I need to know? Good grief. One thing I really did enjoy, I got to plug in at my church, you know, more. That was kind of cool. We started working in the nursery, y'all. Anybody work in the nursery at your church? You got to do it. It's the best because these babies cannot rat you out if it all goes wrong. You come back after church, I hand you a crying baby. It's like, look, maybe I dropped him. Maybe he's a brat. Like, you don't get to judge me. This is the Lord's house, okay? And we're a sticker church. Y'all putting stickers on the kids when you check them in at your church. These big churches do it. We're tagging these kids like they're in the wild. It's weird. Like it's a nature study. Sprinkle out some goldfish crackers and track their movements. A pastor had to explain it to me. Johnny, it's a security thing. It's got the kid's name on the sticker, a code at the bottom. Parent gets a piece of paper with that same code. They come back after church, you know, to claim their child like it's a coat check or a raffle. Wonderful. And parents lose that piece of paper at my church. I don't know what your policy is at your church, but I don't put up with that mess in my nursery. You come back without that paper, I'm like, I'm sorry. We're keeping him, okay? He works for Jesus now, all right? You knew the risks. But like, you know me, that's my son. I just dropped him off. I'm like, sir, look, okay? Without the receipt, the best I can do is store credit. And then I let him pick out a child of equal or lesser value.
Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for putting up with me. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.